Today's scripture is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 6b through 13 and 30 through 32. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and cured them. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm lucky to be alive. When you look over the totality of my life, there are certain instances where I just feel like, man, I probably should not have made it. You see, because I have grown up in a very unique generation, my birthday was just the other week, and I have now sort of successfully split my life down this invisible line where I spent half of it before cell phones sort of became widespread. And then the other half where it seems like everybody has a cell phone of some kind. So some of the things that I used to get into and the adventures that I would have where my parents had no way to get a hold of me and no way to know what we were actually doing is kind of frightening when you really think about it. So I came from the generation where the first part of my childhood, I had to be home by the time the streetlights came on. Anybody else ever have that curfew? And then it became, call me when you're ready for me to come pick you up. So I had kind of these two different experiences. And if I had had a cell phone a little earlier in life, I might have saved myself some bad choices at some different points. So one of the things I used to do is when I lived in Texas, we were stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas in El Paso. Me and a couple of the other boys from the neighborhood, we were in the third grade. We used to go out and just kind of wander off into the desert and go try to see what kind of trouble we could get into. And it turns out quite a bit of trouble in the desert. Because back then, when you're in the third grade, I can't imagine letting my third graders go wander in the desert all day long. But you don't have bad ideas when you're in the third grade with your friends hanging out in the desert. Everything, it is an awesome idea. You want to go catch scorpions and tarantulas? Great idea. Now, one particular day, we came across a western diamondback rattlesnake. And we had a good idea. We decided we have got to show this to our moms. So we were going to catch this rattlesnake in this old traffic cone that they had out in the middle of the desert, and bring it in and show our mamas. How many mamas in here want to have a rattlesnake in their house? Ain't many of them, right? Now, if I had had a phone, I could have just taken a picture with a rattlesnake, snuck that thing up on Instagram, and my mama said, "Boy, you better not bring that home." Could have saved me a good bit of trouble, right? But no, we decided to scoop up this whole rattlesnake, and we brought it back into the housing community, which is, it was a military housing community, so everybody watched out for each other, or spied on each other, or snooped on each other, however you want to call it. They all knew what you were doing, right? So you get a group of boys dragging a traffic cone down the middle of the community in the middle of the afternoon, some old sergeant major is going to come figure out what's going on. And one of the daddies came and found out what we were doing. And for those of y'all who are in the military, we call this an on-the-spot correction. Explained to us the error of our ways. And sent us on then home to our parents, who would then continue the lesson on their own as well, to find out that might not have been our best choice at the moment. Now, there was other times where maybe having a cell phone would have come in handy, because nowadays you have just about everything you need at the touch of a button. You've got maps, you've got headlines, you've got contacts. You can get a hold of anything. There's been a couple times I've been lost as a kid. I'd have loved to have GPS at the moment. But instead, I had to kind of figure out where it was going. I had to figure out where I was, and it all ended up okay. But nowadays, this thing that I've lived half my life without, man, it's important to me. I have to have it on me. When I don't have it on me, I get a little anxious. In fact, I leave it up in my office when I'm preaching. But before I come down to preach, I send my wife a little text saying, "Hey, baby, I'm going to leave my phone in my office." Just so she knows that if she can't get a hold of me, that she knows why. Because there's been a couple times where my phone has broke. Where I went to go plug it in the charger, and I started off on a trip, and I got about halfway through the trip before I looked down, and you get that little message that says 10% battery left. And I didn't realize that my phone wasn't charging. And either the outlet was bad, or the phone was bad, or the cord was bad, but my phone was fixing to die. And I was going to have to figure out how to get from New Jersey to Northern Virginia on nothing but a map and a sign, like an old Western pioneer. Right? I had to figure this out on my own. And for hours, I was out of contact with my wife. And that is not a good place to be, if any of y'all know my wife. Because whereas I thought, well, I just kind of enjoy the scenery, I just kind of enjoy the ride, and just kind of take it easy, listen to the radio, not have to worry about too much, she was convinced in about the 4 or 5 hours that I was out of contact that I had either died in a car wreck, I'd either been abducted at a rest stop, or I was bringing home some sort of wild animal I didn't want to tell her about yet. Any one of those three was a strong possibility at the moment. But I had to find my way home just using the signs and just using the map to try to figure out how I was going to get there. Because you see, now I usually always have my phone just about anywhere I go. I tell my soldiers all the time, call me if you ever need me, even if it's in the middle of the night. I never turn my phone off. And it's true, because I get phone calls all the time, and whether they're important or whether they're not. And there's those moments where either the power goes out or your phone breaks or a charger goes out, that all of a sudden you reach that level where your phone is fixing to not be very useful anymore. And we've all got that different level, right? For those of y'all that have cell phones, for some of y'all maybe it's 10%. You start thinking, man, I need to start rationing this. Don't need to text as much, don't need to get online so much, don't need to check Facebook or Instagram, don't need to make so many phone calls. And we each have that other line where we have to give a disclaimer every time somebody calls and we're within that window. So your phone rings, you pick it up, and you say, "Hey man, my phone is about to die. What do you need?" And if it's not important, you could say, "Oh, I think it's starting to go." And you can hang up real quick and say, "I am not fixing to waste my last 2% of battery on that guy." And you try to last it, but eventually you will find yourself without your phone. You'll find your battery dead. You will left without a charger, and you're directionless. You're mapless. You're out of touch. You're out of reach. You're uninformed, with no idea what's going on. Even nowadays, if I get ready for a trip, one of the first things that Julie, she got to quiz me before I leave the house, because I'm incapable of going on a trip by myself anymore. She said, "Do you have your clothes?" Which sometimes is a good question, because I might have forgotten. This morning, I am wearing very shiny shoes because I forgot my dress shoes, and these were the only shoes I had in my office. So it's within the realm of possibility. And then after that I have my clothes, she says, "Do you have your phone with you? Then do you have your wallet with you? And then even more importantly nowadays, do you have your charger with you?" You got to make sure you've got that, right? And so if I don't have those things, it's going to make my trip a lot more difficult, right? In this morning's scripture reading, we come across a story of Jesus and the disciples in a very unique opportunity. Because you see, up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, in the first six chapters, the show has really been all about Jesus. Whether it's from Jesus calling the disciples and teaching the disciples, to Jesus going through the different villages and the countryside, giving parables, teaching, and preaching. Jesus is performing miracles. He restores a girl to life. He restores the withered hand of an old man. He heals all of those that people bring who are sick and desperate, and he restores them back to life. And he teaches and he proclaims the kingdom of God. And so up to this point, it has all been about Jesus. But Jesus takes his disciples, he takes the 12 aside. And like every good teacher loves and every student hates, Jesus says, "We're fixing to do some group work. I want y'all to pair off." You kind of imagine the disciples, like John and Luke, were like, "Hey, we're going to be." And they pair off two by two, and he prepares to send them out on a journey. And what's interesting at this point is because before he sends them out, he gives them very specific instructions about the type of journey that this is going to be. And he tells them that, "I'm going to give you all the authority over the unclean spirits for you to go and to preach repentance, the arrival of the kingdom of God. But there's a catch. I just want you to take your walking stick. Don't take your other set of clothes. Don't take your wallet. Don't take your bag. Don't even take any extra food. You're just going to go with what you got on you right now." Now, some of you might feel the anxiety that the disciples might have felt at that moment as well. Because we really don't get a clear picture of how long they were gone. In fact, the story kind of jumps a little bit. Right here in the middle of chapter 6, we sort of get a pause in the story. And we get the story of the death of John the Baptist that kind of fits right into the middle. And then we jump back into it in verse 30, as Pastor Terry read just a little while ago. And so we don't know if they were gone overnight. We don't know if they were gone a week. We don't know if they were gone a month or even more than that. And for those of you that go traveling or have these trips that you take often, that changes what you're going to take, right? How many sets of clothes? If you need to take a snack? If you're going to take your charger? If you're going to take a laptop? The things that you need in order to have a productive trip, Jesus says, don't even worry about that. It doesn't matter if you're gone a week, a month, a day. Take what you've got. It'll be enough. Now, for some of us, that might increase some anxiety on our own as well. This disciple, we did not know discipleship did not come with free Wi-Fi, all right? But when we jump back into it at verse 30, if you take a look at it, if you read what the disciples come back like, these are not people who are beat down. These are not people who are hungry. These are not people who are discouraged. These are not people who wonder why Jesus sent them out to begin with. These are people that are coming back excited. These are people who are coming back bubbling with joy about what they have seen and what they have done. That Jesus sent them out with not nearly enough, and they came back overflowing with joy, with excitement of what they have seen about this kingdom of God they went out to teach about. They said, "Jesus, everything that we've seen you do, the miracles, the healing, the anointing, the casting out of demons, we are able to do all of it. The teaching and the preaching. Jesus, you talked about the parable of the mustard seed. Man, we came up with the parable of the ketchup seed." They were able to do things they never thought possible. And to see that they had everything that they needed to work miracles. You see, we come to a point in our lives where we become so dependent upon the things that we have to accomplish what we feel like we need in order to have a successful life, in order to keep us informed, in order to keep us connected, in order to keep us with directions. And yet there is something in this life that Jesus is teaching in this moment about very real relationships and attention and vulnerability. Because if we only focus on what the disciples didn't take or weren't able to take with them, then we only learn half of the real story of what's going on here. Because the disciples didn't actually go as empty-handed as it might seem at first glance. In fact, they took three things with them. And I'm not talking about their walking stick, and I'm not talking about their shoes, and I'm not talking about the clothes on their back. They took three very important things. And why they're so important is because we take these things with us as well. They took the very power and authority of God that Jesus gave them to go and to do these things and to teach these lessons and to perform these miracles and to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God. The second thing that they took was they took somebody else, that they didn't go by themselves, that everything that we've insisted that we need to just sort of surround ourselves with in order to do this life on our own, we can find directions on our own, we can find information on our own, we can find just about the contact of anybody we need to talk to on our own nowadays. Jesus says, but I want you to take somebody else with you. Because it's going to be hard, and you're going to get angry and frustrated as much as you're going to get joyful and excited. And you're going to need somebody in those moments to encourage you and to strengthen you and to lift you up. And the third thing that they took was they took themselves. They took themselves without any distractions. They took themselves without anything that would divide their time. Any other appointment that they have or any other project they had been working on, Jesus says, I'm going to take all those things that are going to make you worry if you lose them, break them, or if they get stolen, and I'm going to take all those and I'm going to set them aside for a while so that you don't have to worry about them again. And when you talk to somebody, you will give them 100% of your attention. You will give them the fullness of your regard, and you will listen to them and hear what their needs are, and walk through life with them a moment, 100% completely in relationship with them. You won't have Facebook pulled up on your phone. You won't have a text when somebody's trying to pray with you. You won't have any of those things that you're going to worry about except your attention with this one person. And only with those three things were they able to begin to change an entire countryside. With every village that they went into, with every home that they stopped at, with every dinner or meal or gift or conversation that they had or exchanged with someone, they found that it was enough. We find ourselves with all these tools to make life easier. We find ourselves with opportunities that we can be as informed or connected as we could possibly like, and we can, for sure, turn that phone off and become as disconnected as we like as well. But we find even more than that. As the followers of Jesus, we have enough within us and together to change this world, simply by walking alongside people in life and giving them our full heart and attention, and be able to see that miracles are stirring within us and in this world that we could never imagine in this life. That when that battery level gets down on our phone to 10% and 5%, and 2%, that we find out that the things and the gifts that Jesus has given us to change these worlds don't need batteries at all. And in fact, come when we're willing to take God with us and move together into the world and to share God's story. That miracles can happen, and we don't need batteries for those. Will you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for the way that you have moved in our lives to call us to something that is greater than ourselves. That you have called us to notice others, to walk with others, to admit that we have everything in this life to keep us connected, and yet, Lord, it is your grace and your authority that keeps us connected to your kingdom. Allow us to move together that we might have real conversations and real relationships and to experience the birth and the arrival of your kingdom here in Alabaster. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.